Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Remember back in July, we had an interview on a fantastic initiative that is currently expanding across the country called Social Farming. It was absolutely a really great interview, if you remember it. Social Farming is for people with mental health and physical challenge, as well as other vulnerable categories who are at risk of social exclusion, and gives them an opportunity to spend time on a working family farm. It's just such an amazing idea. And following on from that interview, we are delighted now to have our next guest to Spirit Radio to tell us of her firsthand experience in reaping the benefits of social farming. On the line now to tell us more, we have author, mother, and home care, Aileen McGee. You're very welcome to the show this morning, Aileen.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you for having me.
I know you're a busy woman and you've got football runs to do this morning and all the rest. So you're so good to talk to us this morning. And because I think this really is an amazing initiative and it's great to be able to highlight it. Can you just, first of all, Aileen, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background and what you're up to?
Well, I suppose my son was diagnosed when he was, he's 19 now, so he was diagnosed when he was about five. I think I had to wait for the diagnosis. I was working at that stage and I gave up my career in homeschooling for 8 years, and any of your listeners will know who's ever been touched with autism, it's a very difficult and bumpy road, and back then there was very, very little resources. And I basically did a lot of research and did as many different things that I could, you know, that I had learnt from usually other countries, America for one. And I then, whenever he turned eight, I felt that, you know, he needed more interaction with other people. So I was very, very lucky to find a school that was embracing change at that time and diversity. So he went to school for 6 years in Scullyscon in Buncrana. And then at 14, I searched again and consequently came, moved to a mild, moderate special needs school for 2 years. But all of that time, there was many, many challenges and struggles, you know, as Cian's mother and advocate and a full-time carer. And whenever my son reached school, leaving age at 17, I suppose it was a bit of a shock to realise that once again, I was back,
back to square one,
With no direction, no services, and no follow up to address his future needs. And you know, I find this totally unacceptable. And I know from other people's stories, this seems to be the case, Jackie.
It's way too common, isn't it, Aileen? It's way too common. How did you come across social farming?
Well, my son then while last summer, actually last May, Cian left school, and the year before, no one had been in touch with me about his future. As I said, there was no brochures, no courses being offered. There was nothing happening. So I took it upon myself to do a little bit of research, and I found a farm in County Monaghan that is a community for people with intellectual disability and who live together really in harmony with the nature, Camp Hill community. So I contacted them, and it was really something that my son has been really interested in nature all his life. Now, I should say, Jackie, he is fully dependent. He, you know, he couldn't live by himself. He's, you know, needs 24/7 supervision. But he was, and he, you know, he's nonverbal, and he was he went through the mainstream school, but I suppose I'd have to give the credits to Cian, because he was he was quite tolerant. You know, he, in his autism, he's quite tolerant of other people, and he really did very well outdoors and in nature. And even the schools would have taken him outside for, you know, a good part amounts of the day. And both schools actually had a little garden. And, you know, they did do a lot of walking and in the country areas with him. So it just seemed to be at home in nature.
So he
I was looking for, you know, something for him, I certainly felt that he needed to be, you know, out with nature, with animals, with gardening, with the soil, with the land. And my father, I was actually brought up on a farm, so he would have spent a bit of time around, you know, Granny and Granda. And then Camp Hill assessed him for, you know, to see would he meet their criteria. And from that, he was offered opportunities on social farms. He goes now to various farms around the you know, the Monaghan area, and he now has a full day's work from, you know, he'll be out from 9 o'clock after breakfast to 6 o'clock in the evening.
That's just absolutely fantastic. How has this service impacted your lives? I mean, I imagine this must be, you know, after years of trying to, you know, deal, you know, managing school and doing okay with that. Now it sounds like you found something that really has made a difference to him.
I mean, I had used many, many various programs, and I would like to make it very clear that my son is very severe with his autism. Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds like all of a sudden he's got a life. But the thing is, last May, he was very frustrated. He was self-harming.
Mm.
He was. We were having no sleep. We didn't have sleep for years. My son never slept. You know, he would go to sleep about maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. He was ripping up his clothes. I'm just giving you an example.
Yeah.
You know, of how severe his autism is.
Yeah.
He was very, very frustrated. He became a recluse about 4 years ago. That was actually, you know, before he left school. He came home from school and he would pull all the blinds and he wouldn't let anything in his. He'd stop watching television. He would turn off the music. He just would sit as a recluse. And this impacted greatly on my life because, as you know, I have kids who want to do things like football and want to go out and wants mummy to watch matches and, you know, wants to do the ordinary things that young people are doing. And unfortunately, after 3 o'clock, I couldn't do anything. So we all became reclusive. We all became totally almost like a prisoner in our own home because I couldn't leave Cain. And there were times, obviously, that I would have got a baby minder or babysitters. But again, that's a financial, you know, that affects you financially because you don't have the money every day to, you know, foot that bill. And it could have been for if they were away doing something, kids might be back for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah.
So you can imagine per night, I couldn't do any exercises or couldn't go and do anything for myself because anything would last 2 or 3 hours. I would pay for the course, and then I would also have to pay for the baby. Wasn't even baby minding, was care minding.
Yeah,
which was a totally different thing. So this really impacted hugely on our lifestyle. And with the self-harming, Cain became so frustrated. I mean, he was banging his head at the fireplace. He was just trapped in his own. He didn't know there was.
He was
no
frustrated.
Offered to him, and there was nothing available.
He
and
was
I
frustrated.
Think in his body, he knew he'd grown up.
Yeah.
You know, there were times when I was advised to go to the psychiatrist, and I actually did go to the psychiatrist. There was time, you know, the 11th hour, whenever we really were beside ourselves with stress in a family, and you know, I sat down with the psychiatrist and I told him exactly what I thought was wrong with my son, that he was growing up, and that was it. Because his behaviour outside the home, his behaviour in school was impeccable. He was very, very good. And if he needed, you know, medication, he would have needed it all round the board, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of felt that it was a reaction to having nothing in his life.
Yeah.
And, you know, young boys do grow up and they have, you know, he really didn't want to come shopping with me anymore, Jackie. You know, he got fed up pushing that trolley around the supermarket, you know.
Listen, all young boys do.
Absolutely. So what happened, Cain, was actually very natural in his severe autism. That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
I think you're right.
Was trying to tell me something that I need out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he was closing in on himself. That's, you know,
so that was his way of communicating with you.
He was communicating, and many, many autistic people, you know, do. I called him nonverbal at the start, but Cain communicates with me in various ways all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you just have to be observant for that. So whenever he got into the social farming, I mean, within a couple of very, very short months, Jack, I mean, it would even been down to weeks, actually. Cain is now using, powerless, or what do you call them, screwdrivers, cordless screwdrivers.
Mm.
He's cutting timber. I mean, at home, I was taking screwdrivers away from Cain.
Wow.
You understand? Because they were a danger to him.
They were weapons, yeah. Yeah, he could have hurt himself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But in the right environment, with social farming, it's such an amazing natural environment. And there are so many people who actually farm in Ireland for the love of the land, for the love of animals. And it's these people that the social farming project is tapping into that have got great skills and have got, my father's 94 and he's been a farmer all his life. And there's a great peace around the farm,
mm-hmm.
and there's a great tranquility. And there's also, a purpose.
A connection.
A
connection with the earth as well and the animals and everything. So this has really transformed Cian's life as well in transforming his life, all of
Jackie,
your lives.
If I could kind of visually help your listeners, I have photographs of Cian ripping up his clothes, his arms all broken with him self-harming himself. And on the other side, I have him standing as proud as punch after making, a patio, after, feeding animals. I have photographs of him using these tools that I'm talking, and honestly, you would think it was two different people.
Aileen, you brought tears to my eyes. I mean, I'm just imagining that. And all those years of frustration that all of you spent there's lessons to be learned here, aren't there?
Well, I mean, I've always said, Jackie, the curriculum in a school setting doesn't suit everyone, but it certainly doesn't suit our autism people who learn very, very differently.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're showing a willingness or showing an interest or a motivation to be out in nature and doing things in nature, well, then does the answer not lie somewhere? Coming from them, coming from their own centre. And this is what social farming is connecting the young people to. They are, and not so young, because it doesn't only help people with autism, it's helping people with different needs. They're a diverse group of people who for some reason or another are not coping very well in modern society. I don't have any mental health issues or anything, but sometimes I don't cope very well in modern society.
We all have our days.
Because it's completely chaotic at times.
We all have our days.
Yeah, so for people, the social farming project, I know years and years ago there was a bit of bad press about it regarding, slave labour, that's probably very harsh, but, as if using people to do jobs, menial jobs. But this social farming project is a far cry from anything like that. The social farming project has thrown Cain a lifeline, Jackie.
Wow.
And not only him, but his whole family, because we can now go to our football this morning. Cain has just become alive. I've never actually seen him in all his years, including all the programs that I have done with him. I have actually never seen Cain motivated.
Mm.
His motivation is unbelievable, and I think the whole thing is making sense to him. And I think if schools, community places looked more at the social farming. There are a whole load of farms in Ireland. Ireland's coming down with farms, and there are people who are running those farms who have wonderful skills and wonderful people skills. And it's just a matter of opening up and reaching out and just exploring something very, very beautiful. I mean, what better thing could you do than offer someone a life?
Not much. That is amazing. I mean, that is just, you are such a perfect person to talk about this. I'm so glad you took the time this morning, because I know you are busy.
I think, Jackie, it's a very, very important message.
It is.
I often think of mothers like me and parents and guardians and carers of people who, have different needs. And, you know, I would have listened very carefully to people who was before me. And sometimes you just need a little bit of hope and a little bit of inspiration, positivity. And I would urge anyone who to you know, Google social farming. There's a lot of it. There's a whole project going on in Ireland. Contact the people who are involved, and definitely get your loved ones connected. If you think that is a way, it definitely is a way. It was something. It was. Do you know what? It was like Cain just going off to college. That's what it was like for me. Mm. And, you know, he did leave school with absolutely nothing, and there was no one looking about him or wanting to know how he was or how we were. And to get this opportunity, the people who have set up social farming, and I know the project has been going on now for a few years to try and, you know, build momentum and whatever, but those people who had that, were instrumental in starting it up and thinking about it, has reached out to my son, Jackie. That's how that works.
That's brilliant. And, you know, Aileen, credit to you too as a mom who loves her children and just searched and searched until she found the answers that she knew were there.
Yeah, the only thing that any person who loves anyone would want them to be happy and would want them to reach their full potential.
Absolutely.
And in this moment in time, my book that I had written back in 2009 was actually called A World of Our Own. Jackie, I can now say that title is null and void. We no longer feel like we are in a world of our own.
No.
Ian has a life. I'm beginning to start maybe writing another book, and my other children are out enjoying their mummy, which is the way that they should be.
Oh, Aileen, that is such a... I am so happy that this story is turning the way it is for you, and God bless you, and may you have many years, happy years now with Kian in finding his purpose and telling other people about social farming. It's a great witness.
And I just want to thank Helen in Leitrim and Paul and people who are really pushing this social farming and really dedicating and committing a lot of time and effort to this project. Jackie, what they are doing is I don't think you could actually measure it. I don't think you could.
Mm. Well, absolutely. And you know, when I did the interview back in July, I could tell this was something very special. But to hear your personal story is even more exciting. Aileen, thank you so much for coming on this morning and sharing with us. And I really do wish you all the best. And I hope that your son continues to do really well and Kian just goes from strength to strength. And please keep getting the word out there. Let others know.
Thank you very much, Jackie. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
Take care. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, that's author, mother, and home care, Aileen McGee. She's going on a football run now. Thank God she can do that, you know? I really do appreciate her taking the time to talk to us this morning. This is a very exciting program, Social Farming. If you want to know more about it, you can Google Social Farming Leitrim, or you can go to ldco.ie/social-farming, or just Google Social Farming Ireland, and I'm sure tons will come up. This is a great initiative, one that, you know, and there's probably other initiatives like it in other areas, maybe in areas of music, maybe in areas of gaming, maybe in different areas. I know, like, every child I know that has autism has a gift, whether that gift is, you know, music or farming or electronics or whatever it is. And it's time as a society that we step up and listen and help these people that are rearing these children to help them find a way to reach their children. God bless all the people that are doing this.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.